Welcome to the OFX podcast. You can see. Well, if you can't see, if you're listening, you can't see. But if you're watching, you can see. I'm on my own right now. And the reason being, we have a great podcast come up and we had an awesome guest. We have Yancey Culp with us, and he's going to review all the new rules for DECA and everything that you need to watch out for. Plus, we talk a lot about worlds and, you know, what went well, what didn't went well, all that, all sorts of stuff. Really good chat. But it's one of those chats that just kind of started. Just as you can expect with Yancey, it just happened. So we didn't get a chance to do the intro. So this is the intro. So like I said, welcome to the OFX podcast brought to you by Duonamic. And here we go. Yancey Culp. Before we get to into the new stuff, actually, though, we want to let you have a little talk about Worlds and how it went for you and from your perspective and all that stuff.
Yeah.
All right. So just,
I guess we haven't had to talk. We haven't talked about that, have we?
I haven't heard you talk to anybody about it, like publicly.
Yeah, tons of talks. I guess I just haven't been on a podcast about it. I think kind of touching on something that I definitely wanted to bring up was, it's funny you said that. I just now realized that I have not been on a podcast, but I've talked about it so much with so many people behind the scenes. And something I want to say now, and I may say it five times in this podcast, it's been so amazing. I thought back to like 2011, 12, 13 time frame when I would have ideas, or I would see something I thought was a little wrong or needed some assistance or this and that on the Spartan side. And I would never bitch or complain on social media. I would go straight to the source. I literally built a relationship with Joe, and he would, you know, over time he started letting me in, and I was able to like bitch and complain a little bit. It's like, hey, what are your thoughts on this or that? Or what if we did this, that, or where this or that? There's been so much of that from y'all and others, gym owners and fitness coaches and members and competitors that, you know, they behind the scenes, they reach out and like, hey, I've got some ideas, or what are your thoughts on this or that? And there's been so much of that from you guys and so many others. And it is unbelievably appreciated. I did not want to forget to say that multiple times on this call, because if 10,000 people listen to this, 99% of them don't know that that's going on. It's us behind the scenes, and all of a sudden the product's better 3 months from now because a lot of us have been leaning in on each other and having productive conversations behind the scenes. So I appreciate everybody listening to this, you two and many others that have, like, that's how you handle yourselves, because it really helps us. It's like we have a much larger team than just our 7 full-time staff members. This is like the rule book we're going to talk about tonight. I mean, how freaking awesome that the rule book is better because of how we handled it. But getting back to Worlds, you know, it was only year two. When you think about it, it was our second year. I had, you know, we had hiccups behind the scenes and even a few of them that were in the scenes. But what I felt dramatically and more heavily this year, or 2023 versus 22, was just the sheer number of people that came up. You know, we went from, you know, Worlds 2023 had 300 affiliates, twice as many affiliates at Worlds. You guys know that's why we exist. That's 99% of the reason we exist. A lot more, probably 40, 50, 60% more people competing at Worlds, 3-day event, teams and everything. Just so many more people coming up saying, Yancey, we had such a good season at our gyms, twice as many people competing. They had a great experience here. A lot of people that we thought they would never make it to Worlds made it to Worlds. It's a lot of good feedback. Really and truly, it may not have looked like it, but way less issues than the year before. Oh my gosh. Lots to clean up. Some things that I would do different if I could go back to September, October, November planning for Worlds. Man, I think for year two, I was unbelievably happy, even though there was a few shit shows going on behind the scenes that we worked through. I shouldn't say a week, 3 or 4 days of lots of really good conversations. I want to give a shout out to Camilla and Alondra. What two freaking rock stars, man. I wish everybody could have been a little fly on the wall listening to all of our conversations and how those two athletes dealt with that situation. Just like freaking just constantly high-fiving them through the phone because just how they handled that, and that turned out wonderful. And we'll forever have, co-champions in the female deck strong. So, but next year will be better. Year two is better than year one.
Yeah, and I mean, like, what in a situation like that, what there's not much else you could have done, really. And I have talked to both of those women, and you're absolutely right. They were both perfectly pleased and couldn't think of anything, any better outcome, any better way to handle it, any better way to deal with the situation. It's just sometimes shit happens in sports, and you got to roll with it somehow, right? And that's what you did, and it worked out well. You got your co-champions. Everybody seems to think it's fair, and hopefully, that kind of thing doesn't happen again. You said there was a couple of things leading up to it that you maybe would change. Like, what are some of those things that you might think that maybe some of us wouldn't have noticed or wouldn't have realized were issues?
I think the big one was, sometimes you just going 90 miles an hour and you don't hit the pause button and say, wait a second, let's look at everything right now. Is there anything we should reconsider here? I told the team when we were done, I said it worked out okay with all things considered, but there's no way in a million years I would, if I had to do over, would I introduce the, we just didn't have a ton of experience with the Z-backs. We had a few gyms that had them. No way. I would have definitely waited to, like, hey, January 1, it's now official. We have this new partner. I would have done that differently. So that's probably the main thing, the big elephant in the room. There's like, no way I would have done that away. Other than that, nothing like huge like that one. I do wish we could have, I mean, looking at the new standards we have now, the few tweaks we made with Zone 1 and 10, I wish I would have done that. It's funny when you think about it. I remember in the old abandoned Kmart, Jared and I thinking, it was like a freaking coin toss on the full extension, Zone 10, and we had this bright idea, and we had some pretty good feedback from a lot of athletes, elites, age groups, open types, and they thought like us. So they're like, I think it's going to be easier to judge, and I think for a while it was, but just 3 full years of people just biting a little more, taking it to the little more extremes, and it just kind of. So I wish I would have. Way ahead of January 2024, wish I would have rolled out new standards, maybe early 2023. To be honest, if I had something to do over again, I would have fought tooth and nail. I would have contacted every single company I could ever think of to get them to sponsor teams. I can't tell you how many. I don't know if I told the story, but Mike Ryan is the sideline reporter for. In the NFL. If you've ever watched an NFL game, you've seen Mike Ryan. He's the doctor on the sideline of so many games. He said, Yancey, I've been around big time TV for a long time. He's like, that watching your teams, I watched Decamile teams. He's that's the most exciting thing I've ever seen. I wish we would have had more professional production on top of the OCR report. They did a great job. But it was like the writing on the wall of like, guys, we have got to put more focus on that. I had people that kind of have been around the TV space for a while and watching productions and watching things live that are exciting. They're like, Yancey, you got to promise me you guys are not going to take away that bumping and grinding NASCAR WWE feel. Somebody like Bethany freaking flying through a bunch of big dudes. It's just, I mean, it was so fun to watch it. I could watch that Decamile teams on TV every freaking night, and it would be exciting. All you guys and girls running. I mean, you're dropping like insane 160 meter pace on that 80 meter out and back. And really and true, that course 2 years in a row now. I know you have two aggressive turns, but those are so fun to watch. Watching you guys and gals go around those turns and fly into those zones and just freaking bouncing off each other. It's so electric. I wish we would have spent more time capturing some amazing content around that. And I love DECA Fit and DECA Strong teams. But I'm gonna say I think Decamile is our most exciting team's event to compete in. I've done it and to watch. It's pure magic.
I've been preaching that one since the beginning. Like
I
when
know you have. I
we
know,
went into
yeah.
last year and I went, I'm looking forward to the mile the most. I just think it's, to me, it's the best combination of high output running, like nobody's holding back. And then fast station work. And when it was individual, it was quick. And then when it's teams, like what we did out there, admittedly, we were afraid for Bethany's life a few times, but most of it was pretty. But
Yeah.
it was just nonstop excitement. And just, I hear one of the things that still rings for me, and I don't know if you heard this story yet, Yancey, but Beth went out there, and we did have a rough start, and we were in the very back of the first heat. We were dead last going into the rower because we had a rough start. Bev nearly got trampled in the start, and then we got pushed out of the way into the back of the lunges, so we had some ground to make up. I get on the rower, and I'm going all out as hard as I can, and I'm in like the 120s, and then it slowly starts to fade as I get up, and I get up, and I get in the 130s, and I'm getting closer, and I'm like 137, and all I hear is Beth yell from back of me. She's like, "Don't you dare let that hit 140." Just screaming at me, like, okay.
Yes.
And I mean, that's just
Oh,
it's the kind of high pace it was, right? It was like you can't stop. You can't stop for anything.
yeah, and you're only going to get
Yeah.
20
Yeah.
freaking seconds, 25 seconds. Kevin getting off the bike, I'll never forget the image of him. He drops like an 18 second, of course, and he's crawling like an infant through the A-frame pop-up between the big tall tower. Crawls over to eight and he just crawls into the zone and then there she is. It's like time to go again. But
A bit about setup too. One of the big changes was the setup in the strong. You want to
yeah,
talk about how that kind of
big move in
came
the
to
right
be?
direction. Yeah, that's we'll never not do it that way. I mean, that the last year was just kind of a live and learn and people being delirious and not having time to really set things up. The 3 days helped so much. Trying to pack two of those in one day is insane. Yeah, just straight down the line. Gosh, it was so fun to watch the individual and the teams. And I kind of called it our Kentucky Derby start with the little colored cones, the lane cones, and just seeing all of you there. That was so fun to to watch. And yeah, it's definitely the way to go long term. We're talking to some sponsors that want to like kind of take advantage of that. And the OCR report did a really good job. We've had some really good conversations with companies because we've been able to send them those live feeds and like, oh my gosh, guys, this is good stuff. And we just didn't I didn't feel that 2022 in New Jersey.
Yeah, I would say, especially for Jason and the OCR report guys, if they had, let's just say, a bigger budget to work with, where they could get a little more technical production and stuff. I mean, what they've done with what they have available to them is amazing, and they worked their butts off. They did a great
It looks
job.
like we're going to. It looks like we're going to be able to. We have a sponsor that's going to be able to allocate some pretty nice money, and nothing crazy, but that's going to really allow them to go above and beyond and have Jason there every time. And when he's there on site as a producer, it's always better than just him not being there. So that's some good steps in the right direction there.
It's always good to fly commentators out too. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Okay.
Anyway, so all in all, how would you rate it if you were to give it an A, B, C? How would you rate the entire event compared to your expectations?
Probably a B minus. Yeah, probably B minus. I think one thing we did this year that was really amazing, and it was a little shot in the dark, man. We were kind of like this, is some may not have realized it, but people that were on the podiums definitely realized it. I know that was you guys. We did like 4 to 5 small podiums throughout. So nobody had to wait a long time. Like you're not racing at freaking 9, 10 in the morning and wait until 5 p.m. for your podium. I think that's something we will definitely keep doing. It was Chris Roof and Barton. You guys know Barton, they're one of the greatest MCs on planet Earth. They did such a good job keeping that organized. I was able to be somewhat, I'd fly in for a few minutes and high fives and go right back out. And that was a much less stress. Podium a lot of less nowhere near the waiting around like people are doing. So it would be like four to let's say four age groups, and then we 90 minutes later you'd do another four age groups, and it flowed really nice. So I think that's something you'll see us bring back in 2024. But yeah, overall I'd give it probably a B, B minus. And again, I'm talking, think about all the behind the scenes stuff that may not have affected y'all. You may not even seen all, you didn't even realize that was going on, but we were definitely a C in 2022. So you never know, man. I'm a little hard on us. You can ask the team. We may never be an A, but we'll damn sure shoot for it.
Well, you did get one great compliment from Mike Stefano. Mike Stefano, who does obstacle running adventures, and he wasn't even there, but he said from what he watched and from what he saw and people he talked to, he said that he actually could compare it to a WTM, a World's Toughest Mudder, like feel for the weekend, whereas everybody was just having that. They were there for that experience, and it was an experience. And just, while everything might not have been perfect, the people that were there for the right reasons, and everybody was doing their thing. And I thought that was a great compliment, because at times it entered my head that it did have that feel, having been to both.
I will never forget when Kevin and Rylan and Kent and those guys are coming down Deca Strong, and that I where I went wrong, if I had to do over again, I would have like a small section of bleachers where you could go like step five steps high, because it was so electric. I just talking about it right now makes the hair stand up on my shoulders. It was so freaking crazy loud. With that, and I know it brought the best in Kevin and Rylan and Ron and all those guys, and it was so electric. And I think it feeds into the fact that all three of the events, if it's individual or team, as spectators, we can be so close to you guys when you're racing. And I love, like, with our deck of fits, how 90% of the spectators will be inside, just going from zone to zone. It's so fun when you're in the zones helping judge and watch things, and you look up and like, oh, yep. Those freaking 150, 200 people just move right down to the next zone, and they're right there this far from y'all when you're competing. And it is a fun setup. And for the gym events, it's not as many people, but we've all been to a lot of events, and to see, you get six people out on course at the same time with two lines of equipment and a deck of strong, and you've got 20 people cheering in a little, mom and pop gym clubs through your box. And that's where the true magic happens. But oh man, I appreciate you asking the questions and taking us back on memory lane. It was probably the hardest 3 days you ever probably all my time with Spartan. The only time I've worked as hard was the 2021 Spartan Games in Big Bear. That was just, oh my God, it would take a six pack of beer in 2 hours till I had insane that was. But 3 days of Deca Worlds, setting up the first day. So it's actually four really, really grueling days. But we got such a great crew, man. It never ceases to amaze me how many people just show up, and they're not doing it to become millionaires, but just the crew that shows up and just works. I mentioned Dave. He's helping 15 different departments do this and that. We're all doing our thing, and everybody's got collateral duties, and you're kind of like this. I've worked many races, helped behind the scenes of World's Toughest Mudder, Spartan, of course, Deca. You trust me, we're all like this a little bit, and then it finally happens. Like, okay, we got by the skin of our teeth in a few areas, but I don't think I've ever said this, but our little way of joking about what we do, and I don't think this is not going to make any man mad on the Spartan side of the World's Toughest Mudder side, but we all consider ourselves glorified carnies.
Oh yeah.
That's what we are. Our behind the scenes there's like we fist bump sometimes, like we're just nothing more than glorified carnies, man, making people happy on race day. But anyway,
It is a
and a lot
traveling
less
circus.
meth and a lot less meth and drugs, and we most of us have our teeth.
It is definitely a traveling circus of kind. All right. So
Yep.
that said, it was a great event. Everything's good, but it's in the past. It's in the past
Yeah.
now. We're moving on. So let's start with, you just unveiled a bunch of revamped rules and adapted standards and whatnot. Let's see. Okay, so I'll kind of bring them out for you, and you can just kind of comment as to the why and the what and exactly how it's going to work. All right. First off, zone one, rep line for the lunges.
Yeah, that goes, like I was saying earlier, You get lots of great feedback behind the scenes, and I know y'all were involved in this. It's probably like your 17th y'all I've thrown you from Texas up to Canada already. We say that a lot down here, but we had some really good talks. And to be honest, I had never tried the rep line. I didn't even quite understand exactly what they were talking about, but Amber was so graciously, and I mean graciously, pushing that. Little gracious messages, and it just like it finally it hit me exactly. And so I went to ran down to the garage after one of our calls, and I knocked out like a freaking three sets of 30. And I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, what a freaking game changer. What a game changer. As an athlete, I was looking down and I felt myself being more cognizant of, okay, there's technically, I can get that second foot up there above the line. And when it's this high off the ground, I can start moving with the other foot. So, yeah, I guess it's a one, if you could consider it a 1% split squat jump, but it's nowhere near just seeing the feet as the competitor myself, knowing that that's a rule. The judges, I just feel like that was such a great step in the right direction. The other key piece now, we'll jump to 1 and 10, was like, we've always had problems with people just throwing the rams off and they're flying all over the places and bouncing off of people's ankles. And now 1 through 29 for zone one and 1 through 19, they're counted as normal when you finish the rep. But that 30th rep in zone one and that 20th rep in zone 10 is not, it does not count until you set the ram down. Once it makes contact with the ground in the same general area where it was when you started, we're probably going to do like, starting out for Knoxville, we'll probably have some tape boxes where it'll be standing there. You just got to get it there. And if it falls over, that's fine, but you got to set it down in that area. That's when the rep is counted. So that's going to be a big one. It's going to take a little, I to be honest, it'll probably take 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. And we're probably going to have a couple, Robin and I watch tons of video on Saturday, Sunday, Monday. And I talk to probably five, six gyms every single week on Sundays and Mondays. If it's really bad and I'm a little pissed, they get a call on Sunday. But a lot of times it's following up on Monday. It's like, what are you doing, dude? It'll be a little bit of that. We'll see some people throwing the rams off and not being called back. Probably it'll take a little bit, but that's, I think in short time, that's going to be just the standard and a lot cleaner. Not going to have rams bouncing around. I think the one, just be super, transparent and honest, zone one, the one minor problem that we're still going to have a little bit, but I, to me as a competitor myself, when I was trying them in the garage, I found my, when that foot has to get there, if in front of that line, and I'm getting a lot of good feedback from our athletes, they're naturally getting much closer to knee extension. And that's a written rule in zone one is knee extension. And that's a tough one because you have to have that in the rule. If you just don't require that, you'll see people getting lower and lower and lower and lower. And that's probably of all of our rules right now, that's probably going to be the one that is going to be, there's definitely going to be some no reps, more no reps than we've seen in the past. And I'll talk about the no rep issue real quick. What is unique, and I'm sure CrossFit dealt with this really early on and they're better at it now. When you don't have time, let's say I had time to have 30 judges and I could take them for a couple of days and do some amazing training. And I knew they were all on a similar level playing field mentally, how they thought as judges. I would have taken a different stance at world championships and just in general for the last 3 years. But what happens at a big Decafit event or a world championship? Like I could take somebody like Dave, like your wife or Kevin's wife, who I know they'll, I'd like to have 50 of them. They're going to judge. But what happens is if you have, let's say, three people that are ready to no rep slightly off and the other 12 are not, now all of a sudden, so Shadeg comes in and he's got the good ref. I'm not going to call them, they're not overly harsh. They're doing what they're supposed to do. And there's seven or eight that aren't doing that. All of a sudden, you create a bad situation. So it turns into me saying, listen, if it's egregious, what you can start doing is just, hey, keep counting seven until they fix it. Long story short, in the course of the last 3 years, there haven't been a lot of no reps. It's been Nelson and I getting in those zones like 1 in 10 and barking at people and helping the judges out. And that's always going to be a slight issue. I think getting the athletes helps some, but there's going to be, and something I've actually thought of, and we'll just I like kicking things out to the world. Let's see what they like to say, but what they have to say about it. But one solution that I've thought of, and I don't know, you know, we may implement it at 2024 World Championships when it's kind of that level playing field, is if you get that athlete to make it very easy to judge, that athlete just flat out ignores you. And they just do not. And we had a couple of those at Worlds where I barked at and I was giving out no reps. I was like, damn. A lot of times people don't realize that I actually gave out no reps. They didn't realize that it happened, but it happened 5 or 6 times. It's an auto. Think about on zone one, if you had an automatic 5 rep penalty. Okay, you're going to try to buy a tenth of a second every rep. You just bought yourself 35 reps. It's the way it is. You don't leave until you finish 35. For that real egregious person that just flat out is being a little bit of an a-hole to the judge that gave them that. And High Rocks does it too. It's like, we're going to give you a warning. You need to now stand up taller. You need to now do whatever. So we'll be better this year. We won't be perfect, but we will be better. But yeah, that's the, you know, the key pieces to, sorry, I went down a rabbit hole there, but where do you want to move next, brother?
Well, I just want to say, so if what we're looking at is if last year, if you were doing your lunges last year and you weren't getting warnings, you weren't getting barked at, you're probably going to be fine again, right? You're probably still going to be okay. Just try to get a little more upright and make sure you pay attention to the line. And that should be it. Because some people get, I think, are a little worried about it.
Yeah, most, like you look at most athletes, the majority of them are getting, when you, if you were to freeze frame that, it's hard because they're so good at the movement. Yeah. If you were to freeze frame it and slowly roll through, it's like, man, he got really close to knee extension, really, really close. Maybe he was slightly shy. It doesn't look, because I've done it a lot, it doesn't look quite, because it's, they're there for like 1/100th of a second. Mm-hmm. And they're quickly low again. So it's tricky to the eye. But yeah, it's you know, there's a handful, I won't name names, but there's 5 or 6 elite athletes that I've had a lot of rough talks with them. And now that their reps are better. A lot of gyms, the coaches, and I'm like, man, you're teaching this stuff. Come on. You know what I mean? But yeah, I mean, it will be better this year. I think the rep line alone is going to be a game changer for us.
All right. So the other one, and you touched on a little bit, we'll go zone 10, full extension on the burpees.
Yeah, we are. We did make one minor rule tweak. It's not gonna be a big game changer. But for some stupid reason, I put on the downside of the rep, you have to get hip and knee extension. Knee extension is virtually impossible. You would have to do a strict push up and fire those knees up. So it's just hip extension now. That prevents that stupid crunch method that people were doing. So the chest of the abdominal region has to make contact with the ram. You must get hip extension. That could be a strict push-up. That could be flopping those legs back there 1 or 2 at a time. Quads, knees on the ground, whatever you want to do there, but you got to get hip extension. On the clear rules, how they read now, as you finish the rep, at least 1 through 19, we're looking for hip, knee, and elbow extension. And it also says, if you're throwing that head forward, like some people started doing late in 2023, it's no longer above your head. Now you have to have it above your shoulder. So if you're, you know, if you're like this with the head forward, you've got to actually now have the arms and ram behind your head to trying to alleviate that. I have had, I would say 99 out of 100 people are like, man, I love this standard. You go back to the Ryan Kent, Robert Killian burpee off, the famous Spartan, the very first race that had the Spartan Rams back in 2019. It was just always known for the elites, especially, that that's what you had to do. What it turns into, I went to the garage because I had so many people. The number of comments that were like, it's so ridiculous. Like, the records will never be broken. They're gone. They're untouchable. And I'm like, so I knocked out the quick snatch burpees. If you're really good at it, you just snatch it above the head. And I was like, 3.1 seconds faster with the old method. You know what I mean? It's because most of us were not trying to micromanage and be 1 centimeter above the head. We were getting about to here. You know what I mean? Where you had some pretty nice distance, because it actually takes technique to slow that thing down because it's not a super heavy weight and a fluid snatch is really easy. So I think you see, and I saw some video over the weekend, people just doing a real quick snatch and you get that quick lockout. But again, it's going to be, we're going to have the minor issue we're going to have is like people just shy of hip knee extension, just shy of elbow extension. And there's, I think you're just going to have more reps. I'm sorry, more no reps. And I think it's a fine line. And a lot of people don't realize this, that normally it's the very, very competitive age groupers and elites that don't understand the concept. What I'm about to say is that we always have to walk the fine line balance that, you know, CrossFit created one of the largest fitness movements the world's ever seen. What they've done is amazing. We're a little different. I always say 99% of the reason we exist is that create a globally recognized sport for the 80%ers that have never had their sport. If any of our events ever turn into this really intense situation from the gym experience or DECA World Championships, like really intense, I shouldn't say DECA World Championships. That can become a little more intense and we're okay. But we have to be very careful for it to, like the moment somebody walks into your gym up in Canada or here in the States, and they're like, oh my gosh, this feels good. I feel home here. And I've never walked into a gym before in my life, or I've never tested my fitness. We win. If it feels real rigid, almost like, ugh, you know, they're immediately intimidated. We wouldn't be, the three of us, because we love testing our fitness, but I've coached fitness for 25 years. Beth, and you've been coaching for a long time. There's a reason why in the States, it arguably 80% of the people, that's what the stats show, have never walked into a gym before in their life. They've never tested their fitness. There's reasons for that. The intimidation factor is real for them when they feel loved and it feels inviting. So it's walking that fine line. But I'm telling you flat out, the standards are going to be better this year. It's going to be a little bit of a learning curve getting everybody educated. You know, we have Robin and I'll do our Thursday calls. You guys have been on them, where, you know, you've got 15 events, but only nine of the gyms are on the call. There's six that are like, well, I've done an event, I'm good. And you're like, you know, I didn't get the memos. I didn't check my emails. I don't look on social media. I didn't come to the calls. Like, dude, you zones 1 and 10 are different now. There's going to be a little bit of that. There's going to be some, it's going to take some time. And it is what it is. And, you know, I've got people freaking out, you know, the 10% that are just freaking out that somebody got to do an event in, say, December. And they didn't get to make it to an event in the old standards, and like, there's just no way I can go to Worlds now. It's out. I'm done. I'm over. I can't make it. I'm like, I promise you, if you train hard, those 3, 6, 7, 8 seconds, it's not going to be the game changer for you. Just out train them. And for the, you know, if we allow 20 people again, for the top 12, it's going to make no difference at all. No difference. It's the bubble people that, yeah, in 2024, we could have somebody not quite make it because they didn't get it. Could be like that. It won't be a lot, but I just tell us, just put your nose to the grindstone, let's train, and let's make up for it. And I apologize that we didn't get the rules out quicker. I would have loved to have got rolled them out the moment after Worlds. That would have been great. Just didn't happen, man. I spent pro Nelson and I together, man, we spent hours and hours. The cool thing we're really excited about is the old rule book was such a pain in the ass. Now, when you go to the rule book, you got all the important stuff up top and then all the stuff that nobody reads down at the bottom, like this and that rules and that rules and this crazy stuff that nobody's ever put their eyes on. Now it's like, hey, here's our events, here's our zones. And even under the zones, it's like the deviations are right under there. It's like, okay, for this event, you would do this, or like 4 and 8, you would do this for fit, strong amount, you do this. It just, for my little kindergarten brain, it's so much easier to flow through the rule book and it makes more sense, a little more appealing to the eye. So that was one of the reasons that was tough. It was a lot. That very first rule book that we've been building off of was created in like February 2020. We were getting ready for the Denver DECA Fit. And they just took the Spartan rule book and copy and paste and went in there and just started changing some things. And we've been living off that damn nasty rule book for a long time. So we're in a lot better place now. But anyway. You know, we had a few teams tweaks that we made as well. You guys want to talk about that?
I was going to say that was the next one that, well, I was going to say one rule, and this doesn't really take much time to talk about. Clock stops when the RAM goes down. So it's no longer above the head. It's when it hits the ground. When you put it back in its position, that's when your clock stops. So when you put the RAM on your last burpee down to where it belongs, that's when the clock stops. No real
Yeah,
description needed for that.
and what we're asking the gym affiliates to really try to, we had a great call last week, is, when so and so, it'll hit home very real. The first time one of those athletes just throw the RAM and it goes 6 feet behind them, what you've got to do there as a judge or a gym owner is you got to say, listen, get your RAM back to the spot quickly. The clock is still running. They just lost 2 or 3 seconds by doing that. And judges can remind them, hey, make sure you set your, rep 16. Hey, once you finish that 20th rep, make sure you set it down. That's when I'm going to stop the clock. So, yeah, that's the deal there.
And that should save some gym equipment as well, and
Yeah.
some walls and people's ankles and wherever else those torpedoes start going at.
Exactly.
So right after that, no more row and go. That would be the tank for the teams.
Yes. So zones 6 and 9. For deck of fit, 6 is out of the equation, but for deck of strong, deck of mile for 6 and 9 for all three. We and I know not everybody sees it. We had people get run over bad. And I know it's like I didn't see any of that, but we had some people where, you're walking off to the side and somebody gets a tug and it just smashes the foot or the Achilles, and it was rough. And it's just, even at a gym that's got 2 or 3 lines of equipment, most gyms are a little tight, and it just created an issue there. And it just means that if you're swapping out on zone 9, you can swap every 20 now instead of every 10. And I kind of like the fact that everybody's got to do a little bit of pushing and pulling now. I saw a lot of athletes like, I'll do the push, I'll do the pull. Mainly it was for safety. Well, 100% it was for safety and space constraints, for zone 9. And I know, I understand some of the feedback that I'm getting. I did like the strategies, but one thing that was tough is that it did create, there was so much switching of the resistance, and that was burdensome. That was very, because I was like in the elite waves, I was out there like just watching like a hawk, making sure the judges were seeing the right. And what we'll probably do is we have the ability, we meant to do it at Worlds, but you can put a piece of like Gorilla Tape like right under 7 and right under 2, so there's no chance, at least there's no chance for them to go all the way down to the youth standard too low. It can only be 7 or 8, and it can only be 2 and 3. If you do it, we actually practiced it at Worlds, and we just forgot to freaking do it. And I think we were good to go. We watched very close, but it's going to minimize the swapping of the for the co-ed team. Again, for male and female, there's none of that, which is the co-ed's definitely the most challenging one for judging. But that and this, see, the only, I don't think there was any other 110 and the teams, the
And
main.
the tagging thing,
Oh,
which
yeah.
was very unclear even like during the event. So whether it's hand to hand or skin to skin contact with the exchanges.
My thought on that was, why did I create the tough judging situation where it's got to be hand to hand when I've got to be just as close to you to touch you on the shoulder? I got to be this freaking close to you to touch you on the shoulder, and it's so much easier to judge. There's less of the, well, did you miss the hand? Did you touch the baton? Well, you just got to touch the freaking person. I don't care where you touch them, just touch them, and that accomplishes everything that touching the person was accomplished anyway. It's about, you can't start cheating. You can't get out ahead. You got to get there before the next transition happens. So.
Are you going to keep the batons in the strong relays?
I think for optics, that's a good question. That one hasn't come up.
Because
I
it was kind of like this little pet that you had to bring with you, and then you'd set it down by the machine, and then you'd pick it up again, and then you'd put it by the next machine. You're like, hey, wait here until I'm done, and I have to not forget to bring you with me. It was just.
I'm trying to think if there's any
It
reason
was
to
a
not
good way to
get rid of
bring the
it.
timing chip, though. And that's the one thing that it really did. to me that it made sense on its
Yeah.
own. It helped bring the timing chip and make sure that the timing chip crossed together.
Yeah, probably. It'll probably stay, but I if it went away, it wouldn't be the end of the world.
The timing chip could go on one person's wrist, because either way, it's the timing chip is still connected to one person.
One person's careening across the finish line. So, no, that I could see how that could.
I do. I like it. I like it in the mile and the fit, though.
Oh
Yeah,
my God. Yeah,
yeah.
you kidding me?
And
You
I'm
know,
with you. The
I
opt.
jump
I'm
track
with you on
meet.
the optics. The optics of the baton look cool,
Oh my
and it makes
God.
for a cool trophy.
That's it's right back there, man. I freaking Nick Riker and I.
I love it for the fit and the mile, absolutely. The strong,
Yeah.
it was just a little bit
There was
funny.
one more, dang, one more.
There was the one more thing for the teams while you're thinking of there. Another thing that was no tagging needed if you're in the same zone, if you're sharing
Exchanging
equipment,
equipment.
changing equipment.
That's never been required because it's not a transition. The one thing that did come up though that was confusing to people, and I can't remember who I was talking to, but a lot of times people think that they didn't do the contact. So we had strong goings. Like, let's say you get off the bike and Kevin hits 25 cows and they do the skin-to-skin contact. And Kevin's partner is on eight, on rep eight before he ever gets there. And they're like, well, what just happened? They didn't do skin-to-skin contact. I was like, yeah, it happened back at the bike. And Kevin just laid there and died for a little bit and finally got himself up there. And you see that a lot at the affiliate events. It kind of confuses people. It's like, no, they made the contact. You don't have to be standing right there beside them after that contact takes place. So that's, but I'm telling you, man, we're going to put a lot of focus on teams, this year. I think we're really on to something there with the, with the design. I want to clean fit up a little bit. You know, we've always used the transition cones, the kind of the relay handoff exchange zones. I do it like that. So, like if Bethany's hanging up, handing off to you, she hands off and just rolls right into the next zone.
Oh, that doesn't happen. Bethany just keeps the baton.
I don't hand
Oh,
off.
there you go. There you
But
go.
will that actually cause some problems though? Because when people did hand off, and then they'd roll left into the zone. And if there's a runner, I full on
Must
collided with
move.
someone, like stopped, threw back, and then had to get running again. So
Yeah.
I don't know if maybe this should be in a rule too, where they have to peel out to the right.
I can see. I there's a couple areas where we are, the bumping and grinding is so fun. That zone two in the mile was honestly too freaking tight. It was so fun to watch, but it was too tight. And I know what you're talking about. I've seen that happen a couple times. Oh my gosh, the in and out of the zones, the timing mat. If you watch the in and the out right there, it is so freaking crazy. And I know you guys know what I'm talking about. When people peel out to the left of that sandwich board, just flying. It's that was some of the great feedback we got in Mile and Strong. I'm sorry, Mile and Fit. People are like, I just had no idea that athletes that big and strong that can conquer those zones like that can run that fast. I've never seen anything like that. We're gonna try to really promote all the teams division, because I think honestly, as a gym, anybody that's a gym owner that's put on a team event, they've realized that, wow, that was the most fun part of the day. Some people came back and raced twice, so they get a second ticket sale. And it's just fun to watch. Everybody's faster. Even the you could have a couple that are both 80 pounds overweight, and they're going so much faster than they were, and they don't have to be intimidated by that one or two zones that scare them. And it's a good. I think it's a great concept the way we designed that. And we're also very excited about, we have the ruck division for all three events now. We're doing a lot of work with 5'11 Tactical and Go Ruck. We've officially called it the ruck division now because we're working with both those companies, but we're really excited about that. We'll probably, we got a couple, oh my gosh, we're excited for the ultra. Oh my gosh, I know you're going to
Oh,
get that feed.
we'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to that.
Let's
Let's try to
go.
stay on track. Let's try to stay on
Okay,
track.
okay, okay.
All right.
Rules. What
I
anything
think
else for rules?
no, but I think actually the one thing Beth was trying to get at was not so much the in and out of the zones, but the
Yeah.
handoff of the
Yeah,
relay from
no,
partner to partner
I'm
during the 250, the run.
Yeah, my gears are turning. My gears are turning on
Yeah.
that.
So I mean that's just yeah.
I think if I move the cones back another 10, 15 feet, where the athlete could just at least keep going straight. And as they coast down, they're now ready to roll into the zones. And you guys know this. What's wild about that is there's some of those, there's a few of the gates that are a little further apart. And sometimes your partner's running so damn fast, if you're handing off, you gotta backtrack on the outside of the course to get yourself in the position for the handoff. I've seen some funny situations where people forgot or they're dead tired and they barely got back to, and the partner's like, where the hell's my, where's my teammate? Well, they're still coming back from the other zone. But yeah, I think we can make some minor tweaks to help clean that up.
Okay, one more rule thing to do with teams is having to use the same mat, the same zone. So, for example, if you were trying to transfer on
Yep.
burpees, you couldn't go side by side, or the sit-ups in a strong, you couldn't go side by side.
That's always been in the rule book, but yeah, it's definitely something that needs to be really hit hard. It's one machine, row, ski, biker, tank, of course. Give me one second. Kids! Sound like they're killing each other in the bedroom. And for everything else, or box and everything else where there's an actual area, like a mat, we'll call it the mat area. It's not like, hey, I'm gonna lay down right beside you and do sit-ups, or just co-ed team. I'm gonna do my shoulder rolls over here and you can do yours there. No, it's like you gotta leave that area right there. You step out of that area or roll out of that area, and the next your teammate comes in right there. That's gotta be the case.
Okay.
So for co-eds, that means you're moving a weight out and the new weight is coming in.
Okay, perfect. Just wanted to make sure that that was clear, that that was out there. All right, Beth, you want to run through some of the, so these are questions that we kind of had and people have asked us
Yeah,
and stuff
yeah.
like that, so that you can comment on. Some you might not have any comment for at all, but we'll go
I'll do
through.
my best.
Let's see what we got.
Well, the big question that I have had from people is World 2024. Do we have a date? Do we have a location?
I can tell you that we're 99% sure the date is going to be, I don't know if I should say 99%. We're pretty darn sure December 13th, 14th, and 15th.
Oh, I like that date. December 13, 14, 50. That's my birthday, so that's a good date.
Hey, there you go. And we've got a, this is a good thing. We've got several locations fighting for us, fighting hard, but they're not a typical destination location. And we've got a destination location that we're really trying to nail down. We've learned over the past, you learn over the past 15 years with DECA, Spartan, and Tough Mudder, until that contract is signed, you don't release it. Even if they've told you it's good, because you just never know. There's just so many, you never know. We could have a location call us tomorrow and say, we want to give you it's a really cool food and beverage deal or something, and you're like, okay, we're close, but yeah, and we want to get that out really fast, so it's coming soon, I promise.
Okay, so we will call that very tentative.
Yeah.
All right. One question I have, and this is actually kind of from gym owners, for the rams to be placed on the lunges and the burpees, does there need to actually be a box outlined, or can it just be you got it from where you picked it up?
Yeah, I have to be, I try to be very careful to not throw a huge burden on the affiliates. I don't have anything in the rule book that says you've got to create a tape box, for example. That's probably what we'll do at DECA Fit. But I think in front of the rep line, for example, for zone one, and in front of the mat. To me, as a gym owner, in front of the mat, it officially says, the same location that you picked it up from. That's what the rule book states. So, it's like, okay, yeah, I guess a gym owner could say, well, it's 4 inches off that. I would hope we wouldn't have any gym owners that would say that, but just get it back in the same location. So by rule, you do not have to create a tape box. And again, some people's like, Yancey, you should make them do that. They don't understand. It's a lot to stand up an event and to when you just and I yeah, what's it take to do two or three boxes or six boxes for zones one and 10? But I'm just always careful of the extra stuff that I throw at the gym owners because it's a lot.
And
So you do not have to have a
the mandate of the rule realistically is just to get the ram safely down in the spot where it belongs. It's just to stop torpedo rams. Right. Realistically, it's a safety issue. Safety issue.
And the fact that we had 50% of the people following the rule book already and doing it, and the other 50% weren't. So now we're leveling the playing field now. And you're not able to buy a half a second by just freaking launching it into the space. So,
By the way, just so you know, just
wait, do I hear somebody laughing in the background?
of course she's there. So just so you know, well, if I heard this story that at Worlds, somebody threw it over their back of the head and ran to the finish line or whatever, and they were told, "Hey, you can't do that. You got to set it down loud." And they, well, we saw Yancey do
Oh, it's
it.
actually good. I gave everybody a free pass by being so caught up in the heat of the moment. Nick and I were in an amazing battle. And this is a true story I'll tell real quick. So Nick and I, we had this. I'm the ADD brain, but Nick and I prepared. We had a script. This is exactly what we're going to do. And it worked to perfection. And except for two reps. Nick was going to do the first 10 and I was going to pull us around the last 500 because I'm like, I'm going to do the, you do the last 40 meters in the tank, Nick, and you're a better runner than me. So I'll be recovering. I'll pull our asses around. And I did, dude. I felt great. I was rolling to 10. I'm like, well, now I don't feel great. I feel terrible. Like I just ran over by a steamroller. But Nick was going to do the first 10. I was going to do the last 10. And you guys have been there. You know, he gets on like 8. And I'm like, Nick, you got to at least give me 12, dude. Give me 12. And he does 12. So I do the last 8, and I knew it was close, but I don't know how close. And there's video of that ram goes, I bet it goes 4 feet above my freaking head. 44 pounds is like 10 feet in the air, which is exactly what we want to avoid, of course. But it's really good. I'm pretty laid back with this. I love that I got caught doing that because it's just the beautiful icing on the cake. It's like, yeah, we got to fix me as well as fixing you guys. So, but we won, and we won by like 1 second, like 1.5 body lengths. And, so forever the Air Force team could give me grief. I love the National Guard team give me grief. It's like, yeah, it would have been a little closer if you didn't launch the freaking ram. So I probably would have been a half a second slower if I had to set that damn thing down.
That's right.
So,
All right, Matt,
anyway.
what's the next one you got?
An important question also. The Fit Pro Wave age group wave. If you race the DecaFit in Elite, will your time qualify you for age group? If you don't come in. So, okay, there's kind of two parts to this. For one, how many people qualify in Elite this year? Is it still going to be 20? Is it still going to be 12? If you're not in that top 20, but you only raced an Elite DecaFit, will your time qualify you for an age group race at Worlds?
We've changed the standards this year. And I think you guys actually helped with this. We've had so many good conversations that we wanted to make it align with strong and mile. Why make them different? And some people, they only have the opportunity to race once. I know, matter of fact, I remember the conversation. Bethany, you played a key role in helping my stupid brain say, wait a second, what the hell are we doing? Let's swap this for fit this year. It's the same as strong a mile, basically. If you say, man, I want to, because we want you to test yourself and try to race elite, and then if it doesn't work out, you get to make the decision. Just like everybody, Deca Strong and Deca Mile, everybody gets to make the decision. You could be sitting number freaking one, and you could still decide to race age group if you wanted to. So we're going to do that. So, and of course, that will apply for the individual and the mile. Now, to your question about are we going to do 20? This is the unique predicament we're in because. And it's a fun predicament, but the writing was on the wall with the teams. We saw teams getting more and more popular, and I hated the podium where it was like just the top three. So we came up with the five age groups combined age, which is going to make teams so much more fun at the regular DecaFit podium ceremonies, but at Worlds, of course. So now, if you notice our 3 days at Worlds, they were really packed, and that was with just the a couple teams launches. Well, now we're going to have a lot more teams launches. So what's probably going to happen, and don't hold me to this, but we were 12 people in 2022, we were 20 in 2023. You're probably going to see us add a few more lines of equipment. And my gut says, again, don't hold me to this, but you're going to see 15 people or 15 teams qualify. So what that allows us to do, more than 22, less than 23, but it allows us to get everybody out in one launch. If you go back to 23 Worlds, the day was so packed because it's a ton of age groups, male and female age groups, and you had to launch two waves for most of those. It chewed up a ton of time. If we do 15, I would say probably 90% of our age groups, 15 to 16 was what we had registered anyway. There's a handful of them that got to 20. Most of them averaged 13 to 16. So 15 is not like we're throwing a massive curveball at the system, and it gives us more time to really bake in a couple more minutes between launches. Really, I don't want to say slow things down, but just really dive into every single launch a little more, and actually still cut that day down just a hair by cutting out, instead of two age group launches, it's only one age group launch, because we're going to need more time for all those the age groups. It's going to be a lot. When you do the math on that, you look at that, it's a ton. You got male, female, co-ed, and you've got six groups for male, six groups for female, six groups for co-ed, the elites, and you got the five age groups. So, which is going to be a freaking blast, man. I love the strategy at Strong Mile and Fits for all the, you have people, you guys could qualify together, and one of you could qualify with your freaking 13-year-old kid, 14-year-old kid. I mean, how cool is that? It being a completely different age group, but be qualified.
Is
So,
this just a scam to see how many races Kevin Gregory can run in one weekend?
right, exactly.
So actually, that was a question we didn't write down, but what did you make any changes to the weights in the 14 to 16-year-old age group?
No, the one big change is it is pretty significant. DecaFit has always been the Spartan standard where, as if I'm 49, but I turned 50 that year, I'm racing all year as a 50-year-old. Well, the same DecaFit, the same thing was for a 13-year-old. If you're racing in July, you turn 14 the next, 3 months later, you're racing as a that race as a 14 to 17-year-old. But for Strong and Mile, it was different. We had to clean that up. So now, 2024, if you register as a 13-year-old for Strong and Mile, you're a 14 to 17-year-old age group. So it makes it actually a little tougher, because the 13-year-olds, we know they struggle with the weights and a little bit, and it's just going to be slightly tougher. So that's a pretty significant change. The good news is we have a lot of 9-year-olds that are now they're super excited, moms and dads, that they're. It's basically going to be a lot of 9 to 12-year-olds in the 10 to 13 category for youth, and those. Some of those 13-year-olds are going to be racing as 14 to 17-year-olds. So, no, but none of the weights have changed. You will see moms and dads, guardians racing with their 10 to 13-year-olds on teams. The only thing that's unique with that situation is that if you're racing with your, let's say, your 12-year-old, the row is 500, the ski is 500, and the air bike is 225. It does not draw. If the kid gets on the rower, he can't get off at 250. They have to take that rower to 500 meters, because that would just be a huge, it'd be a crazy disadvantage. The main reason we cut the row, the meters, and the ski in half was the row, the ski, and the cows, is because some of those kids are just on the row, the ski, and the bike forever. If you don't do that, a lot of the kids can barely, the seats don't go low enough for them and whatnot on the bikes. But anyway, yeah, that was a good question, though. I wasn't expecting that one.
So I just my concern is probably the age group that lacks the most after the 65 plus, which you did change the weight, would be that 14 to 17-year-olds. And I'm speaking as someone who has a turning 13-year-old son. So he would have to carry 60-pound dumbbells.
Yes. And yes, that's, I have a 13-year-old too, and he's 80 pounds. And he's just not going to be able to do it this year. He used to crush the old division. And I will say though that he is he's hell bent excited on. He's like, I'm gonna freaking damn sure do him next year, Dad. So I think it's that one group. And if there's one, I've been coaching youth for a long time. If there is the one group that I want to see, just like man, like have a slightly higher percentage than the norm that can't cross that finish line without a modification, just because I've been coaching men, young men for a long, long time. It's I want to see them as like, you know what, you better freaking you get your butt back here next year, and you get it. You got something to train for. Like I'm coaching my 80 pounder. We go to the gym all the time, and he's his bar deadlift is now up to 180. But as we know, dumbbell deadlift is tougher. And he's got to where he can deadlift the 120 pounds really good. And I think he'd be there for a while. He could do it right now, but there's no way he could go past 10 meters. He would never make the turns and come back. He would just have to set him down over and over and over again. It'd be a long, long time. But yeah, it's definitely a struggle. And one of the reasons, just being super transparent, that we just can't throw another change. And I know it sounds like a real simple change. I just can't throw another change at the gyms and our team right now. It would just be and I think I'm okay with it not change. I like that those freaking, I keep saying the boys, but I like that they've got something to work for. I like that they're like, like my son, he plays football and basketball and all the sports where he needs to be strong. And your kid's probably playing hockey and whatnot. Same thing. It's like you're gonna feel like a rock star when you finish zone six for the first time with 120 pounds and you don't even weigh 100 pounds. Heck, I don't know if my son will ever get to 100 pounds. It took me a long time, but yeah, and I know that's a bummer for it's kind of falls into the number. I get so many women, and you and Amber and all you shorter females give me the greatest excuse every time I get a woman's like, I'm only 5'3". This is ridiculous that I got to step over 24-inch box. And I'm like, dude, you want me to send you 100 videos of being a guy on planet Earth to compete with that can get all of that box as fast as these girls? Come on. So you're just fine.
I see your point for sure. I just, from a standpoint of keeping that age group involved in sport, I would rather see like more of them be able to than them have to take, because sometimes I worry about them taking a year off from something, not being able to do something, then we kind of lose them. It's such a critical
You're exactly right. My best feedback, and I'm really, I feel like I'm reaching here, but my best feedback was like, and I'll do this with my son at some gym events in Austin this year, is, dude, we're gonna be on a team, and I'm gonna handle that one. I'll take care of six, and and I'll that's probably what we'll do. We'll do more team events this year, and next year we'll conquer that. But you're exactly right. We don't want to throw a barrier that because sports is the greatest internship of their young life. Especially team sports when they're being led by imperfect people that know the sport better than them. I tell every youth I've ever worked with, including my kids, you're going to play team sports because it's the greatest internship on planet Earth. Sports in general. That there there's a there's some research that was done. I hope I'm not murdering this group, tearing this up too bad, but they, I don't know if it's the same for the schools in Canada, but in the US, let's say our high school has 2,000 people. On average, 20% of it, the 20% of the school is participating in all the sports. 80% are playing no sport. When you fast forward 15 years down the road and you look at the CEOs, general managers, supervisors, foremen, leaders, coaches, people that are leading people, 80% of them came from the 20% that played sports in middle school and high school. It is such a good, just to be yelled at sometimes, to be told what to do by somebody that just knows the sport better, and you just got to say yes, sir, and yes, ma'am, and do it. That's really freaking good for the kids. So I know I got in a rabbit hole there, but I get where you're coming from. I'm a huge advocate on keeping our, it's pretty much required, kiddos, that you gotta play sports.
All right. Quickly, a quick backtrack. When Beth asked about the running elite and having that count for age group, I assume that bodes the same for the teams as well. Because I did notice, looking at signing up for Fort Wayne, that there is still a section to sign up for age group and elite. So if you sign up for elite, let's just say, let's say there's teams sign up for elite. top three teams get the podium, then do the next three team, the next teams qualify for age group, or is it only the ones that come out of the age group sign up?
Oh my gosh, I don't know why I'm brain farting on this. 100. Gosh dang, I literally have a brain fart and I can't remember how we, because we do have, so right now we have it set up for elite and age group. You can sign up for either or.
Yeah, for example, I'm looking to sign up for the 100 to 119, and it shows elite or age group for relay. Now, I think they're both the same price, so I don't think there's any difference there. I could be remembering wrong, but
Okay, so I think we might be doing that to help stage. I always jump up on the box and just do my best to get the best teams in that first wave. And it's worked, but I remember us having a conversation about it. We're slowly getting to the point where it's like, hey, if you want to be up there in the front, you got to sign up for it. I'm 99% sure though that the top three are going to be in the elite podium, and I don't care who you race, you're gonna if you won your freaking age group and you weren't in the top three, you're gonna be on the podium for age group.
perfect. Okay, that's what I assumed, and that's what I figured.
I'm gonna talk to Nelson tomorrow. He handles all that. He helps make sense of all that, and I'll shoot you a message if I was off base there, but I'm pretty sure that's where we stand.
All right, sounds cool. Beth, you got the next one?
I think we've gone through all the questions I have.
Oh, okay. Well, I got a couple more. And these are pretty quick, actually. I've heard rumors of possibly a 4-day event instead of a 3-day event for Worlds.
I haven't heard that.
Okay, so we'll shoot that down. Bang, gone.
No, I haven't heard that.
Nice and
You,
quick.
hey, you're more than welcome to come to that DecaFit setup on Thursday. That could be your fourth day.
Yeah, you can help build. Leaderboard updates. Especially. So right now on the website, leaderboard updates are a little behind and stuff like that. But the big question about it is that I'm looking at is the events from September 24th on, especially the relays. They're not really marked as age groups. Are you guys going to be able to transfer those times? Like, is there enough information on the team relays that
Yes.
have done there to transfer them into the times? Now, I noticed on January they're all going in as age group, different age group for the relays. But back then there wasn't. For example, I have a time from. I think like the week after, like maybe it was September 30th or whatever it was, and there's not enough information there to say if it's an age group time or not. So are they going to be able to transfer those, or is it a case where if someone has a time for them and they want it to be included, maybe they need to reach out?
No, we have access to everybody's age. There's going to be a little bit of manual labor from Nelson, but the every single mark. And please feel free to keep bugging us on this, but I know I because Nelson and I've specifically had this conversation that every single mark on those few months will populate your. You're going to be able to search each one of those five age. You're going to be able to click, hey, 120 plus. Let's see who's in here. 100 to 119. Let's see who's in here. Every single one will populate that one of those five age groups, even if you raced elite, just like the elite individual populates the age group.
All right,
That that's a promise. We would not leave all those people hanging.
one more question along these lines. DecaFits and all the big events and stuff like that, not counting Worlds, obviously. Will there be prize money this year?
But wait for.
For like your
Just regional
DecaFits,
DecaFits,
regional DecaFits, yes.
prize money for
For
the
the
elite
elites.
individuals.
Yeah, the elite individuals, yes.
Yeah, it'll be the same. We've all for the last 3 years we've been 1,500 and 250. That will be the same. I think eventually. You're gonna see us be able to do something with teams. We were able to add a little bit of prize money for it's a lot because
A lot of teams.
it's male female co-ed for all three events. So even though it wasn't a huge chunk of money, it was a lot. And the good news is I know it's and I don't mind bringing it up. It's we've been behind all through COVID. We've been behind getting people paid for Spartan and. We're very close to getting, I know this sounds terrible, but very close to getting completely caught up two world championships and then going to work on world championships over the course of the next, month, month and a half, 2 months, and trying to get completely. I would love to be completely, again, it sounds terrible, but I would love to be completely caught up with world championships by February, March. And I always try to reach out to all the athletes, and most of them are so freaking awesome with it. And I just try to be very, let them know. I've got a list of people I reach out to. Hey, I know you're thinking about it. I want you to know that I'm thinking about it. We're pressing hard, and we basically get a, it's kind of a balancing act. We're caught up to 2 months. We're only 2 months out now on our gym affiliates. I know it snuck up to freaking 3 months for a while. We're 2 months out. We've caught up over an entire month over the past last month, and I think I'm gonna go out. I don't think it's a pretty big limb I'm gonna go out on. Within a month, month and a half, we are going to be where we are less than a month out for paying our affiliates. And what that does is allows us that a lot of money that we get, it allows us to catch up on prize money. And it's been a freaking juggling act, but we're almost, there's a good light at the end of the tunnel. And which it's important for us to for our, we want gyms, most of them are, but we want gyms that are super excited to talk about how much they love being a DECA affiliate. And I never like when a gym gets their affiliate payment and it's like, oh, I finally got paid. I want them to be like, freaking awesome, let's go. Shortly after they that's where I want it, and that's where we're gonna get. It's not quite there yet, but
All right.
yeah.
And then for me, you were excited about this before. So we need to talk about two events. So those are the questions you got. I want you to talk about two events, your DECA Ultra and as well as the big focus on the teams in Philly. I want you
Yeah,
just.
so yeah, slight change with Philly. We just simply made the second day all about teams. We were trying to do something really special with the military, the first responders and whatnot, and we just decided to make it just all day teams on Sunday. But Sunday in Fort Wayne will be the DecaFit Ultra. And man, I think we're well over 100 people, I know. It's an event where it'll sell out at about 250. You just can't, you're gonna have like the Bethany types can get that thing knocked out in possibly less than 4 hours. Let's say 4 hours, but that's not everybody. You're gonna have people that are gonna take 8 freaking hours. And I've been coaching people on the Spartan Ultra for 10 years. I've been as the Yancey camp coach, and just I've been trying to get there. Everybody wants that ultra. They want to get that buckle. I love the fact that we've designed this in a way everybody's going to finish, man. I don't care if you walk the whole freaking 25K and take your time in every zone. We're going to get you out there on by 7, 7:30. We're going to have most of those open category people out on course. And even ones that take all freaking day, they're going to finish. We'll have a lot of it'll be open age groups. And then later in the day, 1:30, let's say, give or take, I may be off a little bit. We'll start launching the Bethanys and the other some of the cyborgs, the Dylan Scotts and whatnot that are signed up, and they're gonna knock. And it sounds crazy, but it's still 3.5, 4 hours. But they're gonna get it knocked out really fast. I think my Roger Bannister mark for men is the 3 hour barrier. Can anybody ever break the 3 hour barrier for DecaFit on the male side? Let me do my math. I'm pretty sure if I got that. Yeah, you have to average 35:59 for 5 DecaFits. It's insane, dude. That's crazy. That's a decent time for, you're on the back end of the elites, but that's a decent freaking time. You're moving. You got to do that 5 freaking times. Our Roger Bannister mark on the female side, I think Jack and I looked at it. We had a lot of fun crunching numbers. I can't remember if it's 315 or 320. Let's see, if you hit a 41 times 5, you would be 325. 40 times 5, you are 320. I think that's the mark we came up with. 39:59 is what you pretty much have to average to break that 3 hour 20 minute mark. But that's just flying when you think about it. But I know we'll have people toying with that right out of the gate. I love how the pit crew is set up. I love how a competitor can have two pit crew. Picture one whole side of the DecaFit. Let's say outside of zones Normally one through four would be down one long side, right? Picture the outside of that running lane, nothing but pit crew. Like where you got your bend and you come around the corner and you roll into the pit crew, pit alley, and you grab something real quick, grab a shot of Gatorade, take a goo, and you're freaking right back out there on course. That's gonna be fun. The strategies of having somebody really and truly, you want to have like that CPA bookkeeper type with the dry erase board keeping track of your laps, swapping out with your two, having two good crew members is going to be a very key strategy, because I don't care how sharp you are, you're going to get race brain a couple times in that freaking race, and just like, I have no freaking clue where I'm at or what lap I'm on, and you need that person to take care of you. So that's going to be awesome. I mean, just we're gonna have a special buckle type medal, just like we do with the Ultras of Spartan. We're looking at some fun, doing something fun like World Service Motor does for the pit crew, like a fun bib for your pit crew. We want this to become special. We want this to become more than just one a year. We want after this is over, Spain saying, you better let us do this, and Malaysia saying, you better let us do this, and other countries, and then maybe next year we do three or four of them, every other deck of it or something, or hell, you never know. I think you may see in 25 a lot of 2-day deck of fits. So anyway, really excited about it. Not for everybody, but it gives a lot of people that tend to be endurance athletes really something to. I can't think of anything that's ever been really set up like this. A real controlled. You already know what to expect. You know the 10 zones. It's just rinse and repeat four more times. And you just got to settle in and grind. And really and truly, when you think of 3.5 hours, 3 hours, 45 minutes, you're good athletes like Bethany and others can stay moving pretty damn fast for 3.5, 4 hours. We know this. We know it's a little shorter. When you look at the elites doing the Spartan Ultra, you'll see athletes hit around 5 or 6 hours. So it's a little faster than that. It's and people, I get so much grief. Oh my God. If I had a nickel for every time somebody said, this is so bunch of dumbasses. It's not an ultra because it's not 50K, or it's a fitness ultra. I don't, what do you, we're not allowed to call it what we want to call it. Who made those rules? It's you come do the 50 zones and tell us if you want, you ready to do another 25K after those 50 zones? So it's a fitness ultra. It's not a running ultra. Oh my gosh. I get one a day still. It's like, Yancey, what are you guys doing with this ultra? That's what you're dumbing down the ultra world so bad. But anyway.
It's amazing you sleep at night.
I love it. I Elon Musk said it best. When he started out, he knew 10 people, and 9 of them loved me and 1 hated me. And then like the next year it got to 100. It's like I had 90 people that loved me and what I was doing, and 10 people hated it. And then it got to 1,000, and then 1 million, and then 1 billion. And it's like, okay, I've got 900 million people that love me, but 100 million that think I'm a loon. It's just the 90-10 rule. It doesn't matter what you do. You're gonna have some people that just think you just can't spend too much time on that. But man, I want to say it one more time. Thank you all so much. You two on this call and the others that are close to y'all. And it was a small knit group. And I had a couple other small knit groups that just, it wasn't me reaching out to them for I need help bad. It was you guys coming to us with just awesome, productive. It wasn't, you weren't making big deals out on social media trying to get the limelight from it. You were just working hard behind the scenes to help make our brand better. And that is, you can't, I can't, words cannot describe how much I love and appreciate that. I gave the Joe example. That's how I worked my way into Spartan. And let me tell you something. I've got about 15, 20 people. And if I need something or I have a question, like, I don't know what the hell to do here, let me tell you exactly who I'm reaching out to. Those 15 or 20 people that have been giving us constructive criticism and a way to help us grow and build a brand versus trying to torch us with a flamethrower. So you are so much appreciated.
I think it's a great way to call it a night. Beth, why don't you wind us out?
Yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Thanks so much, Yancy, for coming on. And we are super excited about our 2024 season and all of the things coming down the wire. So keep doing an amazing job, you and your team, and we're here for it.
Thank you all so much. Much love from Austin, Texas, you Canadian rock stars.